Good morning. The Lord be with you. Well, for those of you who may not have been here before, I am not Melissa. She gave me a call last evening to say that she's ill and asked me to be here and to lead in this worship service, and I pray for your prayers, and I'll be praying for you. It is a good day to be in worship together, whether, as Melissa says, you have been here all your life, or are here for the first time, and I would mention all those have been here in between. I have a couple of announcements I can see, so let's get at it, Gary.
Good morning. Today and next Sunday are the last two Sundays to sign up and receive tickets for the July 6th family night at Frontier Field. We are set up down in Fellowship Hall, so come down and sign up or pay for the tickets that you've already signed up for. Thanks.
So, hard to tell this morning, but it was pretty busy here yesterday. Total so far is $4,705.76. There are, believe it or not, some treasures left. And we'll be doing, as Al says, pick the pile after worship. $4 for a box full of stuff, $40 for less than a full box full of stuff. please take whatever you'll use. There's plants outside that I understand are free. Yes, there's plants outside that are free today, so please give those a good home also. Thank you to everyone for your help. It was awesome. I can't even begin to come up with an MVP this year because there were so many. Thank you very much.
I notice that, as is always, this is a busy congregation. There are many announcements in your order for worship, so be attentive to that at an appropriate time. And now, let us take time to gather our hearts and minds and to prepare to worship God with all our hearts, our minds, and our spirits.
Please stand as able for the call to worship. God beyond all names and images, we worship you in faith. God in the Christ with human face, we worship you in truth. God who moves and draws and forms and enlightens our life, we worship you in spirit. God in relationship, you are our God.
Now we come before God, humbling ourselves before God, because we know that there are things that we would have done, and there are things that we have done that we wish we had not. Let us pray. Holy God, you call us to change our hearts and lives, to return to you. You promise new life for all. You call us to seek your heart, to allow ourselves to be born anew in your spirit. So often we live in the literal meaning of your words, rather than letting the spirit of your world live in us. Come and dwell within us and transform us from the inside out. God's love of the world is so great that God sent Jesus that we may truly live lives of peace and love. Listen with your hearts as well as with your ears. God's love is poured out for us that we may have new life in service and witness. And I'm so grateful for Linda Sidori for gracefully coming forward, or she didn't get forward, she got volunteered to do the children's message.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to see you all. Those smiles always brighten my day. How are you? Good? Well, guess what? Today is a very special day. Because today, we say thank you to someone very special. Do you have any idea who that special person might be? You're right, your Sunday school teachers, because they are very special people. Did you know that your Sunday school teacher takes that big, fat, white book home every week? It's called your curriculum binder. And they look over your Bible story. They plan out your lesson. They plan a craft for you to do. And sometimes they even go to the store and buy things for your lesson or for your craft. And you know why they do all that? Does anybody know why they do that? Why, Graham? They do it for you. You're right, Graham. They do it for you because they really love God very much, and they really love you very much. You are very special to them. So do you know what I think we need to do? What do you think we should do? Yes, we should say thank you. On the count of three, let's give all our Sunday school teachers a great big thank you. Are you ready? Let's go. One, two, three.
Thank you!
Oh, yes, they deserve all our thanks because they are definitely devoted to serving God by teaching you. So, let's bow our heads and say a prayer before we go to Sunday school. Dear Father, thank you for my Sunday school teacher. Bless them, Father. Give them rest this summer. And bring them back in the fall, doing whatever it is you lead them to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may go to your Sunday school classes. Have a great morning. We'll see you at practice.
Old Testament lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 6. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal that he'd taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And he touched my lips with it and said,
See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me.
The second reading for this morning comes from the Gospel writer John, from the third chapter. Let us listen for the word of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Thanks be to God for these powerful words of Scripture. I guess the other half of my statement about "I am not Melissa" should have been "I'm Louise Armstrong," for those of you. I know my renown is near and far, but, you know. And the other thing I should say is I'm not Barbara Brown Taylor. But I have an admiration for how she speaks the word through words. And since 8 o'clock last night was not, well, it sometimes has been when I've started writing a sermon, but it just didn't seem to work last night. So I'm going to share with you a sermon from Barbara Brown Taylor. Three Hands Clapping. Students of Zen Buddhism love to tell stories about the koans their teachers have given them to aid their spiritual awakening. These small, impenetrable questions are designed to frustrate the logical mind so that deeper understanding may take place. Understanding may be the wrong word. When a koan does its work, the result is more an experience than an understanding. Those on the receiving end say they discover a level of reality that lies far beyond reason. One famous Zen koan is, "What was the appearance of your face before your parents were born?" Another is, "What is the sound of one hand clapping?" Students of Christianity have some koans of their own. Many of Jesus' parables belong in that category, as do sayings such as, "Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." One of the toughest koans, however, is not by Jesus, but about him. It is the question of his status in the Godhead. And while theologians may look upon the doctrine of the Trinity as the answer to that question, it remains a logic buster. Why does one God need three names? How does one God inhabit three forms? How can God be both three and one? And I should pause here to say that all of this is because it's Trinity Sunday. And when I see that on the calendar, I go, oh my gosh. Trinity. The Bible often compounds the problem by making it sound as if all three operate independently of one another. "Now I am going to him who sent me," Jesus says in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Finally, he says, "All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Who are all these people? How can God the Father be his own son? And if Jesus is God, then whom is he talking to? And where does the Holy Spirit come in? Is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, or someone else altogether? If they are all one, then why do they come and go at different times? And how can one of them send another of them? There are orthodox answers to all of these questions, but I have never entirely understood any of them. And I'm with Barbara Brown Taylor on that. I accept them as an earnest human effort to describe something that cannot ever be described, which is the nature of God. We would probably be better off if we left the whole subject alone. But if you have ever lain on your back looking up at a summer night sky full of stars, then you know how hard that is to do. You lie there thinking unthinkable things such as, what is out there? Like, what is out there exactly? Where it all stops? And what is beyond that? You lie there wondering who made it and why and where an infinitesimal speck of dust like you yourself comes in. After a while, you either start making up some answers or else you go inside where it is safe and turn on the television. In one of his books, Robert Farah Capon says that when human beings try to describe God, we are like a bunch of oysters trying to describe a ballerina. We simply do not have the equipment to understand something so utterly beyond us. But that has never stopped us from trying. The prophet Isaiah tried, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. John, the writer of Revelation, tried. At once I was in the Spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne, with one seated on the throne. And the one seated there looks like jasper and carnelian, and around the throne is a rainbow that looks like an emerald. Believers throughout the centuries have tried to describe God, but very few have been satisfied with their descriptions. Their words turn out to be too frail to do the job. They cannot paint a true portrait of God, because creatures cannot capture their creator any better than a bed of oysters can dance Swan Lake. The best any of us has ever been able to do is to describe what the experience of God is like, how it sounds, how it feels, what it reminds us of. Whether the experience originates in the pages of Scripture or in the events of our own lives, the best any of us has ever been able to do is simply to confess what it is like when we are in the presence of God. The problem is that it is rarely the same experience twice in a row. Some days God comes as a judge, walking through our lives wearing white gloves and exposing all the messes we have made. Other days God comes as a shepherd, fending off our enemies and feeding us by hand. Some days God comes as a whirlwind who blows all our certainties away. Other days, God comes as a brooding hen who hides us in the shelter of her wings. Some days, God comes as a dazzling monarch, and other days, as a silent servant. If we were to name all the ways God comes to us, the list would go on forever. God the teacher, the challenger, the helper, the stranger. God the lover, the adversary. The yes, the no. God is many, which is at least one of the mysteries behind the doctrine of the Trinity. That faith statement is our confession that God comes to us in all kinds of ways, as different from one another as they can be. The other mystery is that God is one. There cannot be a fierce God and a loving one, a God of the Old Testament and another of the New. When we experience God in contradictory ways, that is our problem, not God's. We cannot solve it by driving wedges into the divine self. All we can do is decide whether or not to open ourselves up to God, to a God whose freedom and imagination boggle our minds. Preachers tie themselves into knots trying to explain what this all means. Some explain that the Trinity is like a three-leaf clover. Others point to H2O in its three incarnations as water, ice, and steam. One Trinity Sunday, I found a lumpy envelope on the hood of my car. Inside was a Three Musketeers candy bar with a note that read, "All for one and one for three. Happy Trinity." All I know for sure is that if human beings were created in the image of God, then A, God is wonderfully diverse, and B, we are more alike than we think. Meanwhile, I do not know why we hold ourselves responsible for explaining things that cannot be explained. Perhaps the most faithful sermon on the Trinity is one that sniffs around the edges of the mystery, hunting for something closer to an experience than an understanding. What, for instance, is the sound of three hands clapping? Amen. The one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. Whoever you are, however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness and hurts you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Lord be with you.
And
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, inviting us to live as your people upon this earth. When we felt short and acted out of fear and doubt, you held our hand and walked with us out of the garden and into every corner of the earth. You continue to extend the hand of your steadfast love, abiding with us always, even when we turn away. In the words of the prophets, you challenged us to live in love and righteousness. But as we shrunk from the challenge, you sent your Son, Christ Jesus, as love for a love-starved world. From the earliest days of creation to the most recent days, you offer to abide in us even as we abide in your love. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna is the highest. Blessed is the Lord who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You are holy, God of all life, and blessed is Jesus Christ, Word of creation. Filled with your glory, he emptied himself to become one of us. Knowing the heartache of loneliness, he became the friend of all. Walking the streets beside us, he became the guide we need. Recognizing the power of sin and death, he followed them to Calvary, leaving them behind in the empty grave as he was raised to new life. So here in this holy time of celebration, with Christ's love in our lives, we are invited to live in your love and to reveal your love to the world, even as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Here at the table of goodness and grace, pour out your Spirit, eternal love, upon the gifts of creation made holy for us, and upon your children adopted into your heart through the life and joy of your child, Jesus. In the broken bits of bread, may we be made whole once again, so that we might bring healing to the deepest sufferings of our time. In the taste of salvation's joy, may we be renewed in our calling to justice and righteousness, so that we might go forth to be companions for all those who have lost their way. And when, in the mystery of your heart, it will come to pass that we are gathered with our sisters and brothers of every time and place, around the feast prepared for us in eternity, we will join our hearts and hands, crying in with one voice, Holy, holy, holy to you forever, God in community, holy in one. We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took common bread and made it holy, as he takes common people and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat his act again, as he did by saying, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me. We cannot live by bread alone. And so he took the cup as he did the bread and poured it out. so that we might remember the sight and the sound. As he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." We break bread and we drink wine, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, for the faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people. This is the body of Christ broken for us. We who at times are a broken people and seek to be made one. This is the way. This is the blood of sacrifice. This is the way to new life.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we have been reminded of Jesus' love for us as we have shared this meal together. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have received his life in us. May we make our thanks visible by serving you and one another. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Come now to a time of sharing joys and concerns.
Hello. Shannon is my daughter. She had a baby boy on the June 1st. He's in the NICU and strong. He's pretty sick. So we ask for all your prayers. Things are touch and go. She won't leave his side. She hasn't held her baby yet. But he did go to the bathroom, which is really cool. And she changed his diaper, so your prayers are lifting us up. Thanks.
Good morning. A real close friend's daughter had carpal tunnel surgery. Home, everything was great. She went to bed and never woke up. So mom, family are in tragedy. I knew this kid since she was born. So I hope you pray for the Parika family. Thank you.
Todd Pym, prayers for my dad. He's having surgery tomorrow related to a seizure he had a few weeks ago. And also prayers for my mom, who's having a tough time with it. So hopefully we'll find out more tomorrow. And prayers to both of them. Thank you.
Dorette Crossdale, prayers for a co-worker who's 35 years old who suffered a heart attack last week. She is doing okay at this point.
Barb Wallens. Bill's not here today for a good reason. He's actually doing a chicken barbecue in Churchville, so he's working very hard. But I have some absolutely fabulous news. He's in remission as of this week. And we just really can't thank all of you enough for all your prayers and God. I mean, it's just been wonderful. What that means is he's cancer-free. He still will be undergoing radiation and chemo for the rest of the summer. And it's basically a two-year critical time when the cancer can return. But for right now, we're just thankful for every day, as we have been. But thank you all.
Dave Barrett. It was almost 10 years ago I asked this church to pray for Sonny Chung. And Sonny Chung did recover from a massive brain injury. He helped raise his two kids and was with his wife. And yesterday, in some freakish act, a car struck him on Ridge Road and he was killed and taken from his wife and family. I thank you for your prayers 10 years ago. It gave him 10 more years of life. Just goes to show you, you need to keep praying for everybody here. I count on this church to keep praying for Kara, who definitely is reliving a 10-year co-experience. So, I'm sure this church will keep praying for that family. Thank you.
I'm going to ask for some prayers for my daughter, Christine, who has decided after 9 months of not a legal separation to take the next step in probably ending her marriage. I ask for prayers for strength for her. Thanks.
From the children of the church school, joy that Scott had a baseball game yesterday, and prayers for Dad on a hike today
prayer that hopefully the USS Constitution won't break while it is being transferred to Charleston. I'm assuming that's a ship and not a document. Well, we wonder about that. Prayers for a friend's mom who's having a baby. Prayers for Melissa, who's not feeling well. For a gerbil that had babies, but one died yesterday. They join you, Dave, and your family in prayers for your grandson. I think this might be a joy. School's ending in 2 weeks. But another awareness of tragedy, prayers for a sister who had a miscarriage. Let us pray. Lord God, we have heard today about your presence as experience, not as definition, not as hard edges, but as permeable boundaries. We go in and out. We go in and out in joy and in sorrow. And so our prayers today are those of happiness, celebration, of sorrow, deep concern. We know that you have heard each of these, our prayers, even before we have spoken them. And you know the others that are still within us, where there is need of your presence, but you're already there. And when we go outside of ourselves, we remember so many different places where there is desperate need of an awareness of your power and your grace, of your forgiveness and your love. Help us to know you as divine parent, as savior, and as the power that sustains us daily. And hear us now as we pray in the words that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and there are so many more. And from those gifts, we bring our offerings today. I forgot that
Dear Lord, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude. We are the richest, most blessed people to ever inhabit this earth. And we ask you to take these gifts that we bring as a small token of our gratitude and use them to further your kingdom in this world. And we pray in the name of God the Father, who is for us, and God the Son, who is with us, and God the Holy Spirit, who is within us.
Now, having been fed at this table, go forth in strength, encouraged by the word emboldened by the strength that is here. And the blessing of God, God who is our Creator, God who is our Redeemer, and our God who sustains us, be upon you, both now and forevermore. Amen.